Amen. Good night, everyone. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God thanks and we give him praise. We exalt his holy name. None of us could have been here without his grace and his mercy. We are privileged to be in the land of the living. And let us just exalt his name together. Because our Lord is good. His mercy endureth to all generations. Amen. I could put it like this. Come and see that the Lord is good. He is indeed wonderful. So many testimonies. When I look back over my life and see where I've been, where I could have been, where I am, where he has brought me from, a mighty long way. I know that Calvary's cross, I will never forget. Christ, my Redeemer, set me free, and now I can rejoice all the way. And I know all of us here tonight have a testimony of the goodness of Jesus. You know, all of us has been somewhere that we may not be proud of, but it helped to cause us to remember Christ. Amen. Some experience that we'd have gone through in this life would have caused us to reflect on him, how good he is, and that too can develop a memorial within us. In our memory within us, that even at times when we're going through some seasons, we can't just look back and we can't just smile and say, God, you're good. If it hasn't been for you on my side, where would I be? You know, at times I would be talking to my Lord and I would just smile and say, I say, God, you know, when I know without a shadow of a doubt that he is right here with me. Amen. He's right here. And I'm commune with him, communing with him. You know, oh, what peace we often find in situation like that. You know, it feels so peaceable to get an approval from him. And so we give God thanks. I give God thanks for your journey. I give God thanks for your Christian journey. I give God thanks for your where he would have you now, the season that you're in. And the season is not always seasoned. Amen. It's not always one with good fragrance. You know, our one with good taste is not always marinated, seasoned. You know, where you know that it tastes good. Sometimes the season is rough. You know, sometimes it's high tide. But having him in the vessel with us, we can smile at any storm that comes our way. Hallelujah. Any storm cloud that would come our way. We can rest in his unchanging hand because we know that our Redeemer lives. This journey is never meant to be walked alone. We can't find the direction by ourselves. We must have this Savior with us. We dare not walk alone. Amen. We must feel him. We must touch him. We must listen to him. We must heed his voice. It makes a difference. You know, and I just want to bless God. Bless God for you all. Amen. Before we venture into Romans chapter 9, let's just pray. Eternal God and our Father, we are excited and we thank you for the plans that you have towards us. It's nothing to harm us, but it's to give us an expected end. We pray, mighty God, that even now you'll come and tarry with us. In our midst, mighty God, you will touch every heart, remove every distraction, anything, mighty God, that would cause our gaze to shift on anything else, any shores, anything, any phone calls, anything at all that would cause our gaze to shift even now. I pray, mighty God, that you will take care of it and you will give us a receptive heart to your word. I pray, mighty God, that each and every one of us will leave with a word to encourage our heart, a word of strength that would give us peace even in the midst of the storm. Mighty God, I pray that your spirit will rest and abide with us. You will cause, mighty God, that as your word go forth, it will fall on good soil. And you, mighty God, in all this will be exalted. You will be praised. As I tell you, thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let the church
Amen.
say amen.
Amen.
Bless God.
Amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Yes, free up
Amen.
your spirit, ma'am. It's
Amen.
a rejoice.
Amen.
It's a time to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There is food on the table. There is shoes on my feet. There's a roof up above me. And a fine family. Amen. We bless his holy name for all his goodness towards us. So let's shake it off. If you mean to just stand up and just shout a hallelujah, just shout it out and just release it. Just shake it off. Because we know that our God is working on our behalf. All things work together for good. Amen. So
Amen,
every heavy
amen.
load, just leave it at the foot of the cross. We have created and there's an altar right where you are even now. There's an atmosphere. The Spirit of the living God is hovering even in your presence even now. And he's there to lift every load, every burden, anything that would cause you to be distracted, anything that would cause your gaze to be in a wire. He want to fix your gaze on him even now. So allow him. Allow him to cause you to just have a focus even now. Amen. Yes, with that, I want to just welcome you all. Welcome, 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 one and all. God has indeed been good to us, and we just praise him. All right, so Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We have been doing this book, the book of Romans, for the past couple months now. I think it's about 2 months, Sister Allison. About 2 months or more.
Yeah, probably more. It's been a few months.
Yes, and we'd have known that is it's Apostle Paul that would have penned this book. Leading up to where we are, we have seen where we have garnered much from it. We have been fed. And I can feel it and I know it. Paul's epistle, the book that is written by Paul is doctrinal, is teaching, right? It's teaching. And even Brother Peter, thing is 1 Peter 3, verse 15, thereabout. I don't remember. Don't quote me. Don't quote me on that. But I know it was Peter who said that even our brother Paul writes something in his epistles that are hard to understand. That you would have people wrestle with it unto their own destruction. But we pray tonight that our teacher, the Holy Spirit, will be among us and teach us how to dissect the word so we can apply it unto our hearts and be strong in him, right? So this book contains some of the most profound and weighty truth in all scriptures. It confronts the heartbreaking reality. How could, it said, How could so many of God's chosen people reject their promised Messiah? You know, that's one of the questions that Paul would have answered. How could so many of God's chosen people reject their promised Messiah? That's Christ. You know, it's and people would want to question it and say, wonder if God's plan failed. But Paul would say, no, it doesn't fail. You know, yeah, the truth of Romans chapter 9 is an anchor to our soul, is an anchor to our belief as we stand even now. The Jews, God's chosen people, that's what they were referring to, so many of God's people, God's chosen people, the Jews. How can so many of them reject the promised Messiah, reject Christ? And it's written all over in the Old Testament that Christ would come, the Messiah would come, and they're expecting the Messiah. And even when he was when even when he came on the scene and everything, they handled him, they touch him, they eat with him, they have seen him operated and know that these things cannot be unless the Spirit of God is upon him and using him in that way, and whatever was prophesied of him were fulfilled, and it's in their very eyes that they have been seeing Christ now. And they are the chosen people, the Jews, and they reject the Messiah. And it's not like just a fragment, it's like a whole lot of them rejected. You know, so this is a question that Paul would try to answer here. You know, he's trying to take the doubt out of their mind. And as you read, you'd find that Paul would ask some question. And he would answer them almost immediately. You know, Paul, yes, he would say, can we continue in sin that God's grace may abound? He said, no, don't do it. You know, yes, he would ask some question like that. And this is one of the book that he would ask questions in it as well. And he would answer them. And we would know without a shadow of a doubt, you know, that God stand by his word and he has his plans has not failed. You know, as we study this chapter, we just strip away every doubt that would fill our minds or whatever, and just be confident that God keep his word. You know, whatever he say he will do, he's gonna do it. He keep his word. He's a promise keeper. Amen. So the first part of it, we're going to look at Paul's heart of love. You know, verses 1 to 5. If anyone there could just read it. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. All right, let me go ahead and read it since I'm there.
I
All
can
right,
read
Romans chapter 9
it. Chapter 9, verses 1 to
to 5.
5. I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternal, blessed God. Amen. And I'm reading from New King James Version.
Amen. Bless the Lord, Minister.
Yeah,
Yes,
thank
so Paul begins with a deep sorrow for his fellow Israelites, who had not received Christ. He had that compassion. He draws compassion for them. Amen. He said, "I have great sorrow and increased anguish in my heart, for I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people." And as you're familiar with scriptures, and as you have read scriptures in the past, you can identify characters, people in the Bible who had this same type of compassion towards God's people. Amen. One of them for sure is Moses. You remember that Mo when Moses drew that compassion and came up and mentioned something almost similar to what Paul was saying here, that he wished he himself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of his people, for the sake of the Israelites, for the sake of his own bondmen. He wish that he, that's how he draw that compassion for the people. And it's the same thing that happened to Moses. You remember when Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and when he came back down, he saw the camp in array where
Yes.
all they make a golden calf. They scheme up and get Aaron to be on their side, and Aaron say, "All right, take your gold and your
Jewelry.
and your jewelry," and they make it into a calf, and they would be there worshiping it.
Worshiping it.
Yes, and when Moses came back with the Ten Commandments, he was so distraught, and he broke the Ten Commandments there. And he would have said, and he would have disciplined them. So many of them would have to make a repledge of their commitment. So many of them died that day, just the same, and stuff. And Moses would have sanctified himself, and he would have went up again to the Lord. He would have went up to the, mind you, before he even came down from the mountain, God would have sent him down and say, "The people, those people there that you have down there, they have corrupted themselves down there." So Moses went, but maybe he didn't know this, the depth of the corruption that they would have fallen into. And here is Moses now going back to the mountain, up to God. And he as he went as when he went up there, he said to God that the people have sinned a great sin, and have made gods of gold. And Moses have said, "If thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out." He's saying that if God won't forgive the sins of the people, God should blot him out of the book which he has written. Blot him out, cast him, don't even let him enter the pearly gates of heaven. If God won't forgive them, that's how Moses loved the people so much that he's willing to give up. I don't know what type of courage that Moses would have had, that he would say that type of compassion that there is drawing for the people. If you're a leader, or if you have any authority over anyone, any at all, whether you are a wife, whether you're a husband, whether you are a leader in your workplace, and whether you are, any type of leader you are, if you're a leader and you don't love the people that you lead, you have a problem. It cannot be effective. If you don't love the people that you lead, you cannot be effective. You have to have a special love for them in order for unity and coherence to be in that group. You have to show love. And that's what we are seeing These guys showing us Apostle Paul, Brother Moses, not to mention our Lord Jesus Christ. When he went on that cross, he took on the sin of the whole world upon himself. He became sin for us so that we could be redeemed. That shows compassion, that shows love, that shows that he cares. And if we lead, and if we are among people that we serve or whatever, and we don't demonstrate love like that, then our leading would be in vain, or it won't be effective as it should be. We have to draw compassion one towards another. And you cannot pray for anyone unless you draw compassion for that person. There's no way you can intercede for a person unless you take on what the person is carrying, the burden. That is why intercessors mourn and groan so much. It's a heavy load when you're carrying the weight of the people, or you draw compassion for somebody, to pray for that person. It takes a lot out of you, because you have to, you can't, first of all, your prayer is not going nowhere until you love the person so much. It doesn't make sense to even pray for anybody if you don't love them. It's not going to go nowhere. If you're double-minded or whatever, don't try pray for yourself or pray for something else. But if you don't intend to carry the weight that the person is carrying, if you don't intend to share the load that the person is carrying, it doesn't make sense to even intercede for the person. You have to show love. And that's what Paul is doing right here. Paul is saying that, I wish myself was a curse from Christ for the sake of my brethren. That's the depth of
Grieve.
how he got, and the grief that he would carry for they are there and they reject the Messiah. They reject Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So true faith produces love for the lost. If you are truly living in faith, if you are truly called of God, you have to have a love for the lost, for people who are lost, for people who have not yet, I use that word yet intentionally, who have not yet received Christ. I didn't say who have not received Christ, but who have not yet received Christ. That yet make a difference, because the possibility exists till. Possible, it's still possible that they will receive Christ. Amen. So we have to have that faith produce love for the lost, and whatever they're going to, this song that we started off tonight with, is Hosanna, that song, and one of the verse in it that the writer would have penned, he said, heal my heart and make it clean. Open my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours, for everything I am, for your kingdom's cause. I love that part that he said, break my heart for what breaks yours. Whatever is happening, whatever I'm privy to see, and to analyze it and to detect it as something that is not a good or a pleasant odor to Christ. Let it break my heart. Let me feel like how you feel, Lord, when I look at the things that are happening around me. Let me feel what you're feeling. Let me, I just want to get intimate, that type of intimate with you, so I can feel what you're feeling. And that way, when you feel that way, then when you have your quiet time or your moments and you shut your eyes, you will see people that you know coming up in your spirit that you should pray for. And the Lord will show you what you ought to pray for them about as well, because you're now, have a relationship with him, so much so that he's showing you how to love like he loves. Your heart is broken because of when you see the stuff around, just like how his heart would be broken for thing, you know? So that's the type of relationship that we want to develop. First, our first attention should be towards God, a relationship to God, then to those that we are privy to come in contact with, to those that are in our family members, in our own household, you know? Yes. Draw compassion for them. Draw compassion for your husband, for your wife. Draw compassion for your children. Draw compassion for your co-workers, your extended family and a whole. Draw compassion, a burden for them. Show love. That's in essence of what it is. Show love so you can be able to pray for them. Draw compassion even for your enemy so you can be able to pray for your enemy. Those that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, draw compassion for them and pray for them too. Amen. Yes, the second point that I want to make clear to us tonight is taken from verses 6. Before we move on to that, any questions, anything to share before we move on to the second part of it? Sister Novelette says she's not hearing. Is anyone having that problem not hearing me?
No, we can't hear you. Sister
We're
Novelette,
hearing you
you
different.
want to, sorry. I was going to tell her to probably power down our device and or exit and come back in.
Sister Novelette, are you hearing now? Maybe not. See if we can work with our Sister Allison in the background and see if she's hearing. All right. So the second part of it is taken from verses 6 to 13. I'm going to read that quickly since no one seems to have their Bible with them, but no problem. Let's do it. 6 to 13. He said, not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are all children, but in Isaac thy seed shall be called. This which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Amen. And not only this, but when Rebekah also has conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done anything good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Those are strong words there. There's a lot to learn from this portion.
And two.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn from it. Paul makes a key statement. It is not as though God's word had failed. He mentioned that in verse 6. He said, it is not as though God's word has failed. It has not failed. God's promises stands. The word of God stands. He cannot fail. Amen. Paul explained, he explained that not everyone descended from Israel is truly Israel. He said, being a true child of God comes through promise, not just physical birth. It comes through promise. So Paul revealed two profound truths about how God operates. We see it in the passage that we just read. He revealed two truths how God operates. Grace is not inherited by biology. That's one of the truths that we want to get from it. Grace is not inherited. Salvation is not inherited by biology. So not because your grandmother is saved and your mother is saved and your father is saved. That doesn't mean that you are saved. You have to accept, believe, receive. Accept, believe, receive. Amen. There's no other way. You have to know God for yourself. Amen. So Paul points back to Abraham. Abraham had two sons, right? Ishmael, Isaac. Both of them had the same DNA. Amen. But only Isaac was called the child of the promise. God's kingdom is not built on human pedigree. It is built entirely on the marvelous and his marvelous intervention. God chooses. God is the one that chooses. Sovereign, and his choice is righteous. Amen. The other thing that we can learn is that grace is not earned by behavior. It's not your behavior cause you to receive grace or salvation. If the story of Isaac prove we cannot inherit grace, God's grace. The story of Jacob and Esau. Remember that story of Jacob and Esau? That story proved that we cannot earn it. So Isaac, the story of Isaac proved that we cannot inherit it, and the story of Jacob and Esau proved that we cannot earn it. Paul reminds us that before the twin were even born, Jacob and Esau, before they had done anything good or anything bad, God chose Jacob. Why? Why? It's a hard question. Why did God choose Jacob before anything, before they did anything good or bad? And one of the simplest reasons for that is that in order that God's purpose in election might stand. God is God, not by works, but by him who calls. It's not nothing to do with works. It's by him who called, God who called us. It's just believe, just receive, just accept. It's the word of Almighty God. Amen. So God's choice wasn't based on looking down the corridors of time and see who is going to be better, who is going to be the better man, who is going to be do the better things, who is going to be the better this, the better that, whatever better. God's judgment doesn't depend on the better or the best or whatever. It depends on his election. Amen. He
Yes.
said, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hate. That reveals God's absolute sovereign right to choose whom he will.
Yes.
Completely and apart from human merit, completely and apart from what you and I should would have done right, keeping the law, doing this, doing that, whatever. Human merit don't have anything to do with it. If your heart cannot be re can cannot release to contain the things of Almighty God, to receive the things of Almighty God by faith. It's by faith, it's not by works, lest anybody should boast. Because if it was by works, many people who had like a disability or whatever, they wouldn't be able to do any work to account for their salvation. Many that would have come from pedigree family that had money or whatever, they would have all the blessing and all the salvation. And the people that without the money wouldn't get anything, or the people that have their good behavior wouldn't get anything. But it's not about that. It's about God's sovereign will. Amen. So salvation rests solely on the unshakable promise
Thank you,
and
Lord.
sovereign call
Yes.
of a merciful God. Merciful God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will, whosoever will, whosoever will. Amen. Whosoever will. Yes, He's a merciful God. Whole wide world is in His hand. Amen. Yes, so and because it depends on Him, it cannot fail. Because salvation depends on God, because salvation depends on Him, it cannot fail. You know, one of the other things that Paul would reveal to us in this passage is God. He would want to answer the question, is God unjust? Because of what we have just been privy to hear. Jacob have loved, Esau have hated, Isaac and Ishmael, the promise came through Isaac instead of Ishmael, instead, even though they came from the same bloodline, the same DNA, whatever, the promise, you know, skip Ishmael and came through Isaac and stuff. And so Paul now is posing a rhetorical question here that and he said, is God unjust? And he would have answered, no. Not at all. He's not unjust. And we see that in verse 14 to 18. Verse 14 to 18. Let me pull it
I
up.
could read
Go ahead. Verse 14 to 18.
it. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden.
Thank you, my sister
That's the
Ava.
last. Okay.
Yes, verse 18. Yes, therefore, as he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardened. That's a hard saying, eh? And Paul continued to bring examples to us, and this time. He would have mentioned Pharaoh. And we all know who Pharaoh was, right? King of Egypt. You know, he would have the Israelites in bondage for over 400 years in slavery. And he would have them there, you know, taskmaster. You know, have the people of God under bondage, and God would have raised up Moses to go into Egypt, the very same place where he had to run away from because they were looking for him to charge him for murder. And God would have sent him right back into Egypt to release the Israelites out of Egypt to free them from bondage. And with all the plagues that went on, God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he wouldn't let the people go. From the very first plague, God could have softened his heart so he could let the people go, you know. And the very second plague, you remember when he did the first plague with when he I not even the plagues yet, but the signs and the wonders when Aaron's, when Moses would take the rod and drop it on the ground there, and it the rod would turn snake, it turn into a snake, right? And the magicians that were there in the midst of Pharaoh, that to show you where Pharaoh's mindset was. Imagine he would have the magicians right there in the temple with him, right? You would have them right in there. That to show you where his God is and where his focus was. Yes. So what the magicians were able to reproduce. Maybe I shouldn't use the word reproduce. But until I find a better word, the magician would have done the very same magic. I don't even want to say magic, but he would have done. They would have thrown their rod down on the ground, and it would turn into a snake too. God could have prevented that from happening. But it turned into a snake. But God would have allowed it to happen. And what happened after that? When all the magicians' rods turned into snake. What happened after that?
Moses snake eat
Yes,
them up.
Moses' rod that turned snake. Eat up all of the magicians, them rat. That to show you the power of Almighty God. God would work in some mysterious ways that you and I cannot understand. How God performed like that. So go back again to the what were happening in Egypt that very day. The plague came. They did not. Pharaoh hardened his heart remains hardened, right? Number two plague. His heart remained, even when the frogs came, the lice came, even the locusts came, everything happening. The River Nile turned into blood, everything happening, and he still hardened his heart. Why did you think God hardened Pharaoh's heart there? Why do you think? Anyone?
To show forth his mighty works.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Sister Thelma. To show forth his works. And not only that, but to strike against the many gods of Egypt.
Amen.
He's striking against the very gods of Egypt, all the false gods and all them things that they're worshiping. He's putting them to naught. He's putting them to confusion. He's tearing down every idol worship and anything that would consume the people's mind. There is it that Israel, they were in Egypt as slave. And there is it that because they were in Egypt and the Egyptians have their many gods worshiping, it is going to fall off. And the Israelites, they're going to want to do the things that the Egyptians are doing and worshiping the same false god, the same idol. No wonder why. When they were in the wilderness, they build that golden calf and start to worship it because they feel that whatever you should worship should be something tangible that you can touch. They don't realize that the God that we worship is unseen. We have to worship him by faith. They're looking for a God that they can hold on to, and that's what we see happening in our society today. People won't let go and let God because they're saying that they can touch and feel their money. They can touch and feel their car. They can touch and feel their houses, but they cannot touch and that's the idea behind it all. So God is striking against the many gods of the Egyptian so that he can bring them to naught, captivity bow before our Almighty God. And release his people to praise and to worship him in spirit and in truth. Come, let me take you away into the wilderness. God could have taken them out on another highway to where into the promised land, into Canaan's land. You could have taken them another way, but he took them into the wilderness to take their minds and their eyes off everything else and put it on the unseen God, the God who is able to deliver. That was what was happening. Take your eyes off the things of this world and place it on God. That's the call for us today. Is God unjust? No, he's not. He'll show mercy on whom he will. He knows our heart. He knows what is inside of us. He knows us from before. He said to Jeremiah, I know you from before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. I know you. And even in there was I've anointed you as a prophet. He knows the very end from the beginning.
Thank
He
you,
knows
Jesus.
the route that you will take. He knows how your mind is at any particular time. And he knows if he can trust you. He knows if you're going to break, if you're going to break your vow. He knows if you're going to disannul the promise that you made to him. He knows it all. He knows whether you're going to stay in faith. He knows it all. He knows it. I know the plans that I have towards us, said the Lord. Plans of good, not of evil, to bring forth an expected end. He knows the end result. He knows you. Amen. So when Paul explained that God chosen people chooses people based on his own purpose and not on their performance. He's not saying that God is unfair. God is not unfair. Amen. If Paul flips the understanding of fairness upside down, he turned it upside down. If God was perfectly fair, listen, if God was perfectly fair with us as humans, every single one of us would face judgment. If God was perfectly fair, because all have sinned. All of us have sinned. We don't actually. So with that said, we don't actually want fairness from God, right? We don't actually want it. We don't actually want fairness from God. Because if it was fairness based on the way we perceive it in the natural, we would be condemned for life. What we have done, what our foreparents have done, what our minds stray away to think sometimes, if God should be fair in that and give us accordingly as we deserve, we would be doomed. That is why grace, that is why mercy, that is why we need grace and mercy, the unmerited favor of God, the price that we could not pay. We need the grace and mercy, because if we were operating in God's fairness, we would not stand the test of time when some things would happen to us and stuff. We'd want to ask God, why? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done? Why me, Lord? I have been good. That is the first comment of sorrow. You cannot say, we fall short every step of the way. We sin by omission and we sin by commission. Some of the sin we commit, we don't even know it. We don't
Yes.
even know it yet. Our conscience sometimes is so snared, as if with a hot iron, that we can't even feel sin anymore sometimes. We can't, we're so numb towards certain sin that we have it and we entertain it and we pet it up like a baby, because that is our little pet sin. Our little pet sin. God knows and understands. I am only human. God, I am only human. I have my little pet sin. I'm only human, Lord, and you understand. No! Cut down every pet sin. Remove it out of the camp. Remove it so that you can be stronger, holding on, that you can hold on with both hands instead of just having one hand hold on. You know how hard it is to climb with one hand?
That's true.
You can't have God in one hand and the devil in the other
No,
one. You got him in the other hand. You cannot climb. You cannot climb when you don't have the mobility of both hands. Yes.
Oh,
You need
yes.
one to complement the other. When
Amen.
one let go, the other
Amen.
one hold on. The other
Thank
one
you,
let go, the other one
Jesus.
hold on. I'm holding
Yes.
on because I'm climbing Jacob ladder. I'm
Yes.
going up. I'm going up the King's
And there
Highway.
we
I'm
are.
coming up on the rough side of the
Jesus, hallelujah.
mountain. I am coming up. You have to
Oh,
let go of one
God.
and hold on to the other. You need the
Yes.
support of one, of both of the hand. And if you have the
Oh,
devil
God.
in one
Oh,
hand,
God.
you're not
So
going to
many
climb
hands
further than
supporting
what you
God.
stand.
Oh, God.
You're not going to be
Jesus
able to
Himself.
climb up
You
because
can't
you
have the
cannot
devil in
use
one
both
hand.
hands because you
Huh?
have the devil in
No.
one.
No. Can't work. Can't work.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise the
Praise
Lord.
God. So when we as people stop demanding great fearness from God, that's when the blessings start. When we stop demanding
Yes.
fearness from God. Because if God was be of a fear to us, we'd be condemned.
Where would
One.
we be?
So
Oh,
where would
God.
the
Be?
blessing won't start to flow until
Yes.
we stop demanding fearness from
Yes,
God?
God.
Why God? Why me? Why you allow this to happen to me? Why
No.
not? Why didn't I get the promotion over that person? Why
Oh,
didn't I
God.
get the breakthrough over that person? I've been serving you all along. I'm not seeing where. Stop.
Oh,
Stop
God,
it in
stop
the
that.
name of
Yes,
Jesus.
Jesus. Yes, keep it. Stop it.
We don't
Hallelujah.
deserve fearness
Happy
from him. We
Jesus.
deserve
Happy Jesus.
mercy. So instead of
Yes.
asking for fearness and why me, Lord, beg
Oh,
for
God.
mercy.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes.
We cannot start recognizing grace unless we stop asking for fearness.
Oh God, I like him. Where would I be?
We cannot recognize the need for grace.
You want fairness? Make God make it fair, then you swamp to
If it was ever, yes, if God ever make it fair for you and me, we'd be condemned.
Oh Lord.
So it's no
Amen.
more, God,
Preach
why
it,
did you
preach
let
it,
that
preach
happen to
it.
that person? Why did it happen to, why this come upon me, Lord? Why me? Why
Come
didn't
on,
I get the
preacher.
promotion?
Yes,
Why
preacher,
didn't I get
preach
it? What,
it.
you
Preach
know, we don't, we want mercy. We don't want the
it.
fearness because if we get fearness,
Hallelujah.
we cannot
Yes.
manage it.
Yes,
We want
yes,
mercy.
yes. Hallelujah.
Mercy.
Hallelujah.
Mercy. That's what we need as people of God.
Mercy of
Mercy.
God.
Oh
Yes.
God. Oh
Because
God. with the
Oh
fearness, we cannot recognize God's grace.
God.
Because the grace is an unmerited favor.
Oh.
It's
Yes. Oh
something that
yes.
you and I didn't work for.
Hey, yes.
It's
Hallelujah.
something that we didn't deserve, undeserving.
Oh God. Hey. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord.
My God, my God. If you ever receive God's mercy,
Let God.
remember it is a gift. It is not
No,
a wages.
it is not
It is
work
not
for
your
it. That gift.
wages.
I work.
It is
Okay, it's a gift.
your mer the mercy that you receive from God is not a wage. The only time you get wages is sin, is by sin. The wages of sin
Sin
is
is death,
death.
death, death.
The
Hey.
wages. So whenever you get the wages, sin.
Sorry.
The wages of sin is death. The gift of God, eternal life. You receive mercy. That's a gift from God. And this,
Amen.
when we know all of that, this should humble us
Oh, yes.
and fill us with eternal gratitude. You remember what our brother Titus over in Titus 3, I think is verse 5. Titus 3, verse 5. He said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us with the
Oh God.
washing of regeneration and the
Yes.
renewing of the Holy Ghost. In verses, before we move on to the fourth part, the potter and the clay. The potter and the clay. Anything you want to share from part three with what we just mentioned just now? Anything you want to amplify it with? Any experience that you'd have want to place in at this time?
Gear, good night, everybody.
Good night, Sister Heather.
Okay, Gary, send me a message about you when you were talking about the snake.
Yes.
He wants to share Exodus 4, 1 to 5. He talk about a staff transformed into a serpent.
Yes, that's what we
Moses.
have gone over.
Moses.
But
Yeah. He
yeah,
sent me,
we'll
but you were talking, so I couldn't butt in at the time.
Yes.
There is
Yes.
following. There is following.
Amen. A staff turned into a serpent. Yes, that's what was happening down there.
There is
Amen.
following. There is following. Yeah.
Yes. So as you would have read before you come on online tonight, verses 24, 19 to 24, Paul would use the beautiful image of as God is the potter and we are the clay.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a potter and we are the clay. And you'd Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, would have summed it perfectly in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 to 6. He said, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word. Then I went down to the potter's house," that Jeremiah going down to the potter's house, "and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand, in the hand of the potter. So he make it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, said the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are he in my hand, O host, house of Israel." So he is forever the potter. We are the clay.
See, radically.
He mold us and he make us and he fashion us.
Yes.
And if there's anything to cut off us, he's going to take it off and he's going to smooth us. He's perfecting us. So as we go from day to day, remember that our God is perfecting us. God has the right and wisdom to shape us, to shape our life as he seems fit. He has the right over our life. He is the potter. He's the one that make us. He have every reason
Oh God, dear
to
Jesus.
require worship from us. He have every reason, the things that he continually do in our life, the way that he continue to lead us, he need to be worshiped and to be praised for all of it. We cannot take it lightly or for granted. He is the potter. And remember, if the potter don't see perfection at the when he needs to see it, he is able to destroy that lump and make and fashion something more beautiful or fashion something else. Because he's a potter, we are the clay. That should cause us to
Humble
be
ourselves.
so humble.
Humble, humble.
Yeah.
Yes. Humble.
Yes, he shows his riches of glory to those he prepared for mercy, both Jews and Gentile. He has prepared us for mercy.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So with that, we can get from it that we are no accident. We are here because of his grace and his mercy. It's not an accident that we are here. It's not cosmic disruption or anything why we are here. The master potter, that's God himself, is shaping you and me with purpose and with love. You know, Ephesians, when you look at Ephesians 2, verse 10, it said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Philippians 1, verse 6 said, "Be confident of this very thing, that he who had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So he's molding us and he's making us. The times when we feel uncomfortable is because he's changing our grounds around us. He's causing us to be more privy to certain information, and he need to look to he need he need you to trust him so he can release certain information to you. So you'll feel your surrounding kind of get and feel a little funny at times because he's taking you out of that shell that you're in, and he's blowing some breeze on you that you don't expect in that season. It's not to harm you, but it's for you to propel you into a new dimension in him. Amen.
Man.
Yes, so verse 25 to 29,
Finishing.
God in we'll see in that portion where God includes the Gentile. And who are the Gentiles?
We are Gentiles.
Amen. We are the Gentiles. So if you're two type of people, the Jew
And the
and the
Gentile.
Gentiles, if you are not Jew,
Then you're a Gentile.
you are Gentile. Amen. We are like the wild olive, and we are engrafted into the real olive branch.
Oh God, thank you, Jesus.
We were wayward, running away from God, and he grafted us into the real olive branch. Amen. And
Amen.
in that portion where he would include the Gentiles, and Paul was called to minister to the Gentiles. Amen.
Yes, oh yes, oh yes.
Paul quote the prophet Uzziah, Uzziah and I
Also, yes,
Isaiah,
also, yeah.
Uzziah and
Yeah, also, yeah.
Isaiah. You know, to show that God always planned to bring in people who were not his people. So it not as if God plan cannot fail. That's our standing ground. God's plan cannot fail. So this is not a plan B. This is not a plan B to include the Gentile. We were always included in it because God would have known us from day one, and would have known at what point, you know, we are going to be empowered, endued with power. You know, he knows at what point. And he'll say, I call them my people who were not my people.
People, yes.
And that's a quote that Paul used, that he's quoting from Hosea. Amen. Hosea 2, verse 23. He said, I call them my people who are not my people, that are the Gentiles. All right. So God's plan for salvation, as I said, is not a plan B. He
No.
always intends to save people from all nations.
Yes.
Every nation that you come from, whether you come from black race, nation, white nation, Chinese nation, Coolie nation, any nation you come from, you are in God's saving plan. Amen. Yes.
Yes.
So if, you know, every outsider, all the Gentiles, we are called forth. You remember what First Peter is a popular verse that we love to quote. First Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. You remember that verse? First Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. He said, but ye are a chosen generation,
Pretty
a
soon.
royal priesthood,
Oh,
a holy nation, a peculiar people. Yeah, we are no
yes.
normal people. We are a
No,
peculiar
no.
people that are called forth to show the praises of him
Oh,
who had
my
called us out of darkness
Jesus. Light.
into
Amen.
marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are
People.
now the people of God. That's an amen right there. We are now the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you,
That's
Jesus.
a praise right there.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise
Ah,
God. Hallelujah.
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 You know,
Hallelujah.
in
I'm royal.
we are
Amen.
royal, we are royalty, we are no normal
Thank you,
people,
Jesus.
we are no cast aside, or no what less.
Hallelujah. You are royal. Jesus. Thank you,
We are
Jesus. You are
priesthood.
royal.
We are
Hallelujah.
not a what less.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Or we are not a pickup by the way.
No,
We are in
no.
the plan. We are in God's plan. We are God's
Called out
people.
of darkness
We
into
were
his marvelous.
bought with a price.
Thank
We
you.
were bought with a price.
Thank you,
The
Lord.
precious
We are not
blood.
ordinary people.
We were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So the last three verses, verse 33, verse 30 to 33, Paul, he mentioned about this stumbling stone. Possibly you could go over and read this passage again after we would have concluded, and you could have, look at the website, and you could see the replay, and you could read along with it, so you can further understand the last part of it, because there's a lot of meat in it, and yeah, it's good that we should know it. They stumble over the stumbling stone.
Yes.
Romans 9, verse 32. You know, the Gentiles found righteousness through faith,
Faith.
while many in Israel, we find
Such
righteousness through faith,
over.
while many of God's chosen people, the Israelites, stumble by pursuing it by works, because they are now stumbling because they are trying to pursue the righteousness of God by works, by the law. They are trying to
Law,
pursue it,
law.
doing the law, working the
Yes,
law,
please.
you know.
Amen.
Meanwhile, we as the Gentiles, we find righteousness
Thank you,
through
Jesus.
faith.
Amen.
Amen. So Paul would say in Romans 9, verse 32, that they stumble over this stumbling stone.
Want to justify themselves.
Yes. What is the stumbling stone, people of God?
The law. The law.
No, they stumble over this stumbling stone. Remember that Israel's while we as a Gentile receive righteousness by faith, the Israelites, Israel stumble
Jews
by pursuing it by works. So it
works
couldn't be the law. It couldn't
performing
be the law
works
that they are stumbling over.
law
Because remember that they
performing
have the law
works
in both hands. They write
and
it all on their neck and the
what
phalanges.
them
They
do
write the law even on their neck because they're doing it by works. So they couldn't stumble over it. So what is this
no
stumble?
is what
What
them do
is it? What is this stumbling stone that they stumble over? All right. All right. Let's do this. We're looking at Isaiah 8, verse 14. Anyone want to answer what the stumbling stone is that they stumble over?
Isaiah.
Okay. All
Is
right.
you come with it? Is it accepting the
Oh.
Lord by faith? By seek it by faith, because
You're on
if
the
you don't
right
seek it by
track.
faith,
You're on the right
it
track,
must
Mr. Allison.
they
You're on the right track,
stumble.
Minister.
They did
You're on
not.
the right track. But listen
Yes.
what Isaiah 8, verse 14 said. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Is it
The
accepting
stumbling
Christ?
stone, is Jesus. That's
Accepting
what they're
Christ.
stumbling over.
I'm seeking by faith. They're not being
Yes, that's what they're stumbling over. All right. Righteousness. This will teach us that righteousness come by faith, not by trying to earn it. Jesus is either the rock we build on.
so in this sense, Jesus is the stumbling block. Jesus.
Jesus, all right. Jesus is either the rock that we build on or the stone that we trip over.
Okay. What do I mean?
What is he going to be for us tonight? Is he going to be the rock that we build on or the stone that we tripped over?
Shed some more light on
Take
that.
any man, you know, accept him.
Can't get it. I can't get it.
Accept
Some
him.
more light on that.
Can't get it. Can't get it.
Amen. All
Stones. right. Jesus, when we look at Isaiah 8, verse 14, find that part of scripture, Sister Edda, and read Isaiah 8, verse 14.
It. All right.
All right.
And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Verse what? Verse 14.
Verse 14. And that E, that Isaiah is talking about right there,
And
who's that
here
E? That
he
E is
has sanctified.
Christ, the Messiah.
Oh, he's in a stone. What for a stone of stumbling?
Yes, that's
And
the
a rock
Messiah.
of offense to the
Yes,
house of
he's going to become a
Israel.
stone of stumbling to Israel, to the ones that
Correct.
you
And a
know, he's going
snare.
to become a stone of stumbling there. So and we are saying now that
Land called.
Jesus can either be the rock on
Okay,
which
I see
we
it.
build
I get
on,
it. Get it. I get it. Yes.
or Jesus can be the stone that we tripped over.
Oh yes. Oh yes. I see it. Okay.
To the Israelites that did not accept Christ, they tripped over that stone.
But
It become a stumbling
the
stone.
stumbling stone is Jesus Christ.
Jesus himself.
Yes,
is
yes.
a stumbling stone. So either you're going to build on Christ, the solid rock, either
Yes.
you're going to build on Christ, the solid rock, or you're going to trip over it. You're going to fall over him.
Bind up the testimony.
Yes.
Seal the law among their people.
Amen. We're going to stop there. We're going to stop there for tonight. Yes, we're going to stop there for tonight. We have some questions that we want to reflect on, but I think I will just post them on the website, so you can reflect on these questions later on. But we're pretty much where we should be. We want to know that we are included in it. We want to know that salvation is by mercy, not merit. God is wise, he's a loving potter. Grace is not only for some people, but for everyone. We need God's grace. And faith in Jesus is unshakable. Amen. I just want to leave that with you. I came for a word tonight, and indeed, I am blessed with a word. I am being strengthened even now, and I pray the same for you as well, that as you receive this word, it will give light as you go forward.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Thank
Any
God.
questions?
We're
Anything to
blessed.
share?
Really blessed, man.
Go ahead, Sister Yvonne.
I was just saying we were truly, truly, truly blessed. You really exegesed the word really to reach my heart. And it really was a blessing.
Hallelujah.
And we want to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. That's true.
My
See?
God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Yes. Anyone else before we invite Sister Jackie to read the reminders for us?
Go ahead, sir. Here you get wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Sister Jackie, are you ready for us?
Yes, I am.
Bless the Lord. Go ahead,
Okay.
sis.
Good evening, everyone.
Good
Good
evening, Sister Jackie.
evening. Okay. On behalf, so the reminders for tonight, sorry. On behalf of the leadership of Faith Defenders Bible Study Group, it is truly my honor and joy to welcome each and every one of you this evening. Faith Defenders Bible Study Group mission is to bring the hope of the gospel to our community and beyond. We are a non-denominational group dedicated to knowing Christ deeply and making him known. Through the authority of Scripture, we study to grow in wisdom and to actively share our faith by inviting others into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ and to build his kingdom one person at a time. It is our vision to see a transformed community where the hope of the gospel reaches every heart. We envision a growing body of believers rooted in the truth of God's word, who are actively and personally sharing their faith, expanding the kingdom of God, one person, one small group, and one transformed life at a time. The announcement. Last Thursday, we joined with Prayer Portals to Heaven Ministry for Bible study. If you weren't able to join us, the replay is available at www. prayerportalstoheaven.com. Mark your calendars this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. We come together where we meet for an evening of intimacy and reflection. This will be hosted by our incredible partner ministry, Prayer Portal to Heaven Ministry International, right here on this same link. Be a blessing to someone else, post it on your status, and extend the invitation far and wide. Next Saturday at 8 p.m., we are looking forward to seeing your beautiful faces for our regular Bible study as we study Romans chapter 10. Come ready, come expectant, and come hungry for the word. Go forth and shine. As you step into this week, remember, you are the gospel in motion. Win souls for Christ through the life you live and the words you speak. Every encounter is an opportunity. Make it count. I will now hand over to Minister Lynette to lead us in closing prayer and the benediction.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, great I am. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come to you tonight
Hallelujah.
with humbled hearts, grateful for your unfailing love
Yes,
and your
Lord.
faithfulness that is ever new. We approach your throne, O God, with reverence and gratitude,
Hallelujah.
acknowledging, O God, that you alone are sovereign over all creation. You are omnipotent and you
Yes,
are
Lord.
omniscient. Your plans
Hallelujah.
are perfect, O God. Your wisdom is beyond understanding, O God, and your purposes cannot be thwarted. Tonight, Lord, as we reflect on your word in Romans 9, we are
Oh
reminded,
God.
O God, that you are a sovereign God who rules over all creation with perfect wisdom, O God, with righteousness, with compassion and love. Your purposes, O God, stand forever, and no one
Hallelujah.
can hinder what you have ordained for us. We praise you tonight, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you that your word is infallible and cannot fail, O God. Every promise you have spoken, O God, is true. We
Yes,
stand with
Lord.
confidence tonight, O God, knowing that your ways, that you always keep your promises. What you have spoken, O God, you will accomplish. So we
Yes,
thank
Lord.
you. Your faithfulness, mighty God, endures forever, endures to all generation, and your
Oh,
covenant, O
Jesus.
God, remains. We praise you tonight. We worship you. We magnify you, O God.
Yes, Lord.
You tonight, O God, as Paul proclaimed, your word has not failed. You remain
Oh,
faithful
God.
to your promises, O God, because we cannot deny your own nature. Your promises continue to be fulfilled, O God, through Jesus Christ, in
Oh,
whom all
God.
promises are yes and amen. Father, we place our confidence not in human strength, O God, or understanding, but in your unchanging truth. So we
Hallelujah.
tonight, O God, rejoice, Lord God, that salvation is not earned by human effort, but flows from your gracious and
My
merciful heart.
God, my
And
God.
that, O God, we thank you. You have compassion, O God, according to your perfect will. And we thank you, O God, for the amazing grace you have shown us. We
Yes,
thank you
Lord.
tonight, O God, and we ask that you'll help us to take your mercy, not to take your mercy for granted, O God, but to live
Jesus.
each day, O God, in grateful obedience and worship. Mighty God, we just want to lift up your name tonight. O
Yes,
God, we
Lord.
you that you are a great God and you care about us, oh God. And we, as we stand before you, Lord God, we do not deserve your favor, but you have
Oh,
loved us, oh God.
Jesus.
and you have called us according to your purpose. Your mercy is a gift, oh God, that reveals your greatness of your grace. So we
Yes,
thank you
Lord.
tonight, Lord God, that salvation is not based on works, mighty God.
Oh
It's
God,
not
oh
based
God.
on race, oh God. It's not based on achievement, mighty God, or human
Jesus.
striving, oh God, but upon your faithful promise. So we
Oh
thank you, mighty
Jesus.
God, and ask tonight that you give us hearts like Paul, filled with compassion
Mighty
for
God,
those
yes,
who do not
Lord.
know you, Lord God. Help us to pray for our families, to pray for our friends, our neighbors, and the nation,
Yes,
Lord
Lord.
God, that they may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, oh God, that your invitation to salvation extend to all who call upon your name. So we thank
Hallelujah.
you tonight, oh God, and we ask that we'll be faithful witnesses of your gospel,
My
proclaiming the
God,
good
my
news of
God.
salvation with love, with humility and boldness, until every tribe, oh God, every tongue and every nation heard of
Oh,
your hear of
Jesus.
your redeeming grace and love.
Yes,
Tonight, Lord,
Lord.
we just want to thank you. We just want to praise you,
Thank you,
mighty God,
Jesus.
as we ask
Hallelujah.
that you teach us your sovereignty. When we cannot understand your ways, oh God, we
Oh,
ask you
God.
keep us to be steadfast in believing that your word never returns void, but it
My
will
God, my
accomplish
God.
what you send it to do in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
May our lives, oh God, reflect unwavering faith in your promises you
Yes,
have
Lord.
shown us through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you are sovereign. Your word is infallible. Your promises,
Oh,
oh
God.
God, are everlasting. Your mercy
Hallelujah.
endures forever. So we thank you tonight as we lift up our brother Everton before you
Oh,
tonight, as
Jesus.
he minister your word to us, oh God.
Yes,
Our
Lord.
hearts have been challenged, Lord, and we thank you
My
for your
God.
word tonight. May we continue to hide it in our hearts, oh
Yes,
God, that
Lord.
we may not sin. We pray, oh God, that you'll bless him in a special way.
Oh,
Continue to
God.
empower him, mighty God, as he speaks, thus said the Lord, from the
Yes,
throne
Lord.
room of grace. May you continue to have your hand upon him, mighty God. And as he goes
Hallelujah.
through every day, Lord God, we pray that you'll actionize him as he speaks to others.
Oh,
Tell him,
Jesus.
tell them, oh God, of your goodness, of your grace and your mercy. Bless his family, mighty God.
Thank you,
Cover them under the
Jesus.
blood of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we pray
Oh,
that you soak
Jesus.
them in the blood. Wash them
Yes,
in the blood,
Lord.
mighty God. Let no harm or danger come near them. As we speak Psalm 91 over them
Mighty God.
tonight, oh God, because
Yes,
they dwell in
Lord.
the secret place of the
My
Most High,
God,
and they abide under the
Jesus.
shadow of the Almighty. A
Thank you,
place of rest, oh
Jesus.
God, a place of assurance, a place,
Oh,
oh God, where they
Jesus.
can commune with you. Lord, we thank you tonight for each and every one, oh God,
Yes,
on this
Lord.
platform. We ask, oh God, that you continue to bless their homes, bless your children, oh God, bless their family.
Oh,
Bless
Jesus.
whatever they touch, mighty God. Help them to continue to yield to your word, oh God,
Hallelujah.
and to yearn for more and more of you in the mighty name of Jesus. And
Jesus.
now may the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ
Jesus
be with
Christ.
each and every one tonight as we go to our different homes, oh God.
Oh,
We pray
Jesus.
that you go with us, oh God. Help us to walk in the word, to stand in the word, oh God, to read the word and to study the word so that we may be approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we ask tonight, oh God, that you bless everyone and maybe your face shine upon them and give them peace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
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 Bless the
Amen.
Lord.